then someone wrote a funeral eulogy for you. Now help me out with the German. I think it's Grabrede? Okay. And then, or say, what if your neighbor started singing you a dirge? And dirge is Grabgesang? Close? Okay. Essentially, they would be saying, you're already dead. And that's exactly what Amos declares to Israel in our passage today. Jim's going to come up and read our passage now.
Today's reading is from Amos chapter 5. It is on page 919 of the Church Bible. Be 919. Hear this word, O house of Israel, this lament I take up concerning you. Fallen is virgin Israel, never to rise again, deserted in her own land, with no one to lift her up. This is what the sovereign Lord says. The city that marches out 1,000 strong for Israel will only have 100 left. The town that marches out 100 strong will have only 10 left. This is what the Lord says to the house of Israel. Seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba. For Gilgal will surely go into exile, and Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, or he will sweep through the house of Joseph like fire. It will devour, and Bethel will have no one to quench it. You who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground, he made the Pleiades and Orion, who turns blackness into dawn and darkens day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land. The Lord is his name. He flashes destruction on the stronghold and brings the fortified city to ruin. You hate the one who reproves in court and despise him who tells the truth. You trample on the poor and force him to give you grain. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. For I know how many are your offenses and how great your sins. You oppose the righteous and take bribes, and you deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, the prudent man keeps quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord Almighty will be with you, just as he said he is. Hate evil, love good. Maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the Lord God Almighty says. There will be wailing in all the streets and cries of anguish in every public square. The farmers will be summoned to weep and the mourners to wail. There will be wailing in all the vineyards, for I will pass through your midst, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
I just wanted to mention that I made a little devotional handout. So if you'd like to do a little Bible study this week, something to pray through, these blue sheets will be at the back after the service for you. So the amazing thing about this passage in Amos is that the story is absolutely true. Israel's problem was that they were people that thought they were doing great. They were going about their normal lives, and they didn't think they needed anything. But the heart of their problem was the refusal to admit they had a problem. You see, they did have a religious life, but that religious life was just going through the motions. So perhaps they were going to the religious events, doing the rituals. They were seeking those outward signs that show religion. In other words, they were very churchy, I guess you could say. But they weren't seeking God's transformation. They weren't seeking God's security. They just plain weren't seeking God. And it showed in the way they lived their lives, in the way they treated their neighbors, treated the poor, in the way they ran their businesses. So unfortunately, Amos says this funeral eulogy, this dirge to them, and says that destruction may very likely come. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you are the God of Amos. Lord, we invite you into this place this morning. Teach us, call us, move us. Speak through me, Lord. Amen. So we hear a lot about, in churches, we hear a lot about the second coming of Jesus. And the Bible is actually full of references to the second coming. But our brother Amos really isn't talking about the second coming. Rather, he's talking about what I may name a second calling, something the Bible is also full of. Let me explain. You see, first God calls people to himself. He calls them to enter into a relationship with him, to enter into his family. And that's what we might call God's first calling. But after that, God calls us a second time. He continues to call us again and again to love him more, to seek him more, to stop seeking security in things, but rather seeking security in God. God calls us a second time to return to him after we've wandered away. Sometimes he might call us to repent of a particular sin, or repent of an entire lifestyle, like Israel here. So sometimes the callings are big, sometimes small. Sometimes the calling might be that he might call us away from something that's actually good for something that's better. So a second calling can be for a variety of reasons. So our buddy Amos comes to Israel with one of many second callings for them. And the God of Israel is merciful, so he's giving them every opportunity to repent. So the message of Amos, though it sounds like bad news, is actually a message of opportunity. Now, take, for example, this. I call it a squirt gun, but some people call it a water pistol. Anyway, if you, say, were to give this to a child to play with, but the parent is told, the parent tells the kid, you know, don't squirt your brother. Okay? And then he goes and he squirts his brother. Then, now, a lot of nice, if someone's a merciful parent, they might say, okay, Matt, you know, I'll give you a second chance. And at that point, the child, so the parent was merciful, but yet at some point there's an end to the second chances. At some point, the parent just gets fed up and takes the toy away. And actually, this second chance to Israel is summed up in verse 6, if you still have your Bibles open. It's on page 919. Actually, no, it's 920. Verse 6 says, seek the Lord and live. Seek the Lord and live. And actually, he says that twice in this passage. And normally, especially in poetic passages and prophecy, if something's repeated, it's pretty important. And now I want you to look at verse 14. It says, "Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good. Maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph." So God is giving them an opportunity to turn around. He's holding out his hand and he's saying, "Please, return to me before it's too late." He's giving them what I've called a second calling. You see, there's just something not sincere about them. They think the Lord is with them. They may claim to be the people of God, but they're not doing what the people of God do. That's seeking good and seeking God. And also, if you look back at verse 5, it says, "Do not seek Bethel, do not go to Gilgal, do not journey to Beersheba." Now, those were major cities in their country. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with Bethel, but the problem was that they were trusting in those places for security, whether it was in the religious rituals that were there, whether it was in economic prosperity, which is usually in the biggest cities in a particular country, whether it's in the military power that Bethel had. But the only true security for Israel was to be found in their God. So Bethel, whatever it may have offered, when it came ahead of God, only led to death. And the Israelites needed a second calling to bring them back to God. Because even good things can be bad if they're put before God, and God is shoved to the sidelines of their life. So what about us? What about our Bethel? What is our Bethel? What are we seeking our trust in, seeking security in? Is it our jobs? Is it our children? Is it our education? Is it some secret pleasure? Because the truth is, we're all sinful. We all have junk in our lives. We all have garbage in our lives. No one seeks God perfectly. So we all have a Bethel. And for me, for example, it can be very hard for me to put my trust in God. Because some might know that I raise financial support in order to support Ruth and I. And many times I have real trouble trusting in God in this area. I'm constantly having to remember that my security comes from my relationship with Jesus Christ. And it would be a false security to trust in anything else. So when I put my hope in my friends and family back home, then that becomes my Bethel. Again and again, I have to seek the Lord. I have to trust that my Lord is good. So in this way, God calls me back to himself. He continues to reach out to me. Whenever I turn from him, whenever I doubt, whenever I sin, God is patient and he draws me back to himself with one of his second callings. So what can we learn about God's second callings here to Israel? Well, let me state that the pattern is the same. Towards Israel first, God calls his people Israel. Then the people's love and devotion grows cold. They might start making compromises, and essentially they rebel. Maybe they know they're rebelling, maybe they don't know they're rebelling. And then God proclaims, and here it's through Amos, God proclaims a second calling. He calls his people Israel back to himself. He wants the people to return to the loving arms of their God. And the pattern is exactly the same for us today. The Church of Christ is like Israel. We have the same pattern of spiritual life and spiritual death. First, Jesus calls his people to himself. He says, seek me and live. Jesus calls us to put our trust in him alone. And the first calling towards Jesus is to a relationship with him. Jesus calls humanity into a relationship with himself, a relationship of hope and forgiveness. But that's not the end of Christ's dealings with us. We were not created perfect. We still need him. We're so quick to forget. Our love grows cold. We put our security, we put our trust in things other than him. Then Christ gives us a second calling. Christ calls us back to himself. He cries out to us. Maybe it's through situations. Maybe it's through people in our lives. Maybe it's directly to our hearts. Jesus says, seek me and live. And unfortunately, in the previous chapter of Amos, you don't have to go there, but Amos had spoken the word of God, which said, yet you have not returned to me. And actually, it's repeated 5 times in the last chapter. Yet you have not returned to me. So this means that the generation that Amos is speaking to has been given at least 5 second callings already. So I don't know if you want to call that the 5th second calling or the 5th calling, or I'm not sure. But anyway, what an amazing thing. What an amazing God who continues to call Israel out of death into life. He calls them to center their lives around the one that they will meet when they die. So the question then is about God's second calling to us this morning. And there are all sorts of forms, again, that God's second callings take. He may call us to deeper levels of trust, to deeper levels of understanding. Christ might call us toward a deeper level of commitment to him. He might, like Israel, call us to stop going through the motions. He might call us to give up our Bethel. He might call us to repent of certain sins, like he did towards Israel. He may call us to change our lives. He may call those people who have wandered away to come back. So these messages, which, like I said before, messages of opportunity, come to each of us in different ways throughout our lives. But these second callings are for those who are already Christians. And if someone has not yet accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, then to them, God is still proclaiming his first calling. He's still calling them to life. And Christ gives them the opportunity to respond. And unfortunately, though, that opportunity to respond expires at death. Whether it's the first calling, or the second calling, or the 20th calling. A few weeks ago, probably about a month ago now, I was riding my bike. And it was early in the morning, it was still cold out then, and I was pretty much half asleep. I hadn't had any caffeine, I had just gotten up, and I was riding a bit too fast, partially because it was cold and I hadn't put enough clothes on. So I was right around Rossplatz, and I turned a blind corner, and I ran full speed into a female biker who was also going fast. We just both turned the corner and collided head-on into each other, both fell off our bikes. We just sat there on the ground, stunned for a few minutes. And it seemed like no one was hurt. I think the girl was actually more concerned about her headphones had fallen out or broken or something like that. So I sat there for a moment more, and I said, are you okay? And eventually, I mean, she kept playing with her headphones. So I got up, I said, Entschuldigung, and I rode away. And I mean, I'm so thankful that I wasn't hurt. And I'm actually thankful that I didn't die, because it's hard to imagine, but I really could have died. Seriously. And not only that, I mean, I could die tonight. I could die tomorrow. And my point is that all of us could die tomorrow. Like, even if you're not riding too fast while you're half asleep around Rossplatz. But fortunately, as long as we're still alive, there's still opportunity. God is in the business of giving us second callings. So if you're breathing this morning, I hope everybody's breathing this morning, there's still hope. No one is beyond God's second calling. And what is impossible with humans is not impossible with Jesus. So finally, the question is, what about us? Is Jesus Christ giving us a second calling? Will we seek the Lord and live? He asks only for our hearts to repent. Seek the Lord Jesus and live. Ask Him to show you His second calling. Ask Him what you need to give up, what you need to repent of, maybe what you need to begin. Ask Him what the next step is. He offers you the opportunity today. So don't waste this second calling, because you might not get another one. So whatever you do, don't ignore it. Don't let God say to you what He said to Israel, "Yet you have not returned to Me." And God says that with sadness. No matter what you have done, no matter how big or how small, our Heavenly Father waits with open arms. Let's pray. Search us, O God. Look into our hearts. May You lead us into Your love. May You call us a second time. May You give us hearts to be able to respond to Your second callings. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.